Blog Talk Radio.
Increase in blessing.
Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for spiritual authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Satan, we curse you from the root and command you to be bound in Jesus' name. And Father God, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the glory. And we bless your name. And everyone says,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For those who are new on the call, you've joined the Bible study of the Potter's House. Renewing Your Mind Ministries International. And our motto, we are co-workers in the kingdom. Are we at?
Hallelujah.
So we can learn more what to do, how to do it, when to do it, where to do it, and all that in a bag of chips. Hallelujah. We have been for the last, we started a new series last week, The Gifts of the Holy Spirit. And as you know, who've been with us, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they're divided into three groups of three. You have the revelation gifts, and dealt with that week. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discernment of spirit. The revelation gifts reveal something. Hallelujah. Today we're going to be dealing with the power gifts. The power gifts do something. That's faith. Working of miracles, hallelujah, gifts of healing, and then the inspiration gifts. The inspiration gifts say something. Diverse kinds of tongues, interpretations of tongues, and prophecy. Hallelujah, glory to God. We want to let you know that after each audio, there will be a 5-minute discussion. So we ask that you would keep your comments as succinct as possible, hallelujah, and your questions so that as many as have questions can have time to share. So we'll be listening to three audios today. The power gifts. Again, the power gifts do something.
Gifts of faith. Get ready. Today's topic that we're going to be discussing is called the gift of faith. Again, today's topic that we're discussing is called the gift of faith. If you've been with us over this last week, we've been studying the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that we've explained is that the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, often referred to as the nine manifestation gifts, are actually broken up into three different categories. The three different categories are the revelation gifts, the power gifts, or the inspiration gifts. The power gifts are construed of the gift of faith, the gift of miracles, and the gifts of healings. Today we're going to be beginning the power gifts. We just finished speaking about the revelation gifts. Now we're speaking about the power gifts. The first gift we're talking about within the power gifts is the gift of faith. Now, we want to get right into what the gift of faith is and what the gift of faith is not. One of the things to understand is that when people talk about the gift of faith, it's understandable that they may not know exactly what that is. And the reason being is because the Bible talks from cover to cover about faith through the entire thing. So one of the things to understand is this. Let's talk about, first of all, what it's not. The gift of faith, as described in the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, one of the things you have to remember is that the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are meant for the building up or edification of the body. Some of these gifts also have external witnessing power as well. With this particular gift, this gift is a supernatural impartation of God operating through you. What this gift is not is this gift is not a natural kind of faith. Everyone in this world, whether you are a believer in Christ or not, has natural faith. Now, some people might try to challenge me on that comment and say, what do you mean? Well, I'm going to tell you. Do you ever question whether or not the sun's going to rise every morning? No. Why? Because whether you would label it as faith or not, you have faith that the sun is going to rise every morning. That's a natural kind of faith. Now, in the Bible, we also hear about salvation faith, or we hear about faith in God. Salvation faith would be the faith that saves. And obviously, it's a supernatural impartation from God. But salvation faith is a type where you believe that you can receive salvation through Christ Jesus. Now, at the same time, there's also faith in God, where you can believe in the Word of God and the things of God. And those are strong things. And as a believer, we're called to walk by faith. In fact, it tells us in the Word, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. It even tells us that without faith, it's impossible to be pleasing to God. But the gift of faith is an entirely different kind. The gift of faith is a supernatural faith that operates from God directly through you. This is sometimes known as an unlimited faith. And this type of faith is designed to accomplish things that are considered impossible to man. In other words, when man comes to a point when something happens and they have no way of explaining it, there's a good chance that supernatural faith operated at that moment. In other words, when we're talking about outcomes and things of that nature. Now, one of the things to talk about, and sometimes people might say, well, it kind of sounds like you're talking about miracles. Well, we're going to get into that tomorrow. But one of the things you have to understand is that the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit usually operate in tandem with each other, meaning that it's usually not just one gift operating by itself. There's usually a couple different gifts operating, supporting each other at the same time. So that's very important to understand as you're learning and growing in what the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are. I want to get right into the Word and show you where this is at. We're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going straight to verse 9. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to verse 9. This is actually where it gives us the full list of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, or what are referred to as the nine manifestation gifts. Let's read. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. When we talk about faith, again, this is not just faith in God. This is not salvation faith. This is called the gift of faith. This is supernatural faith. This is when God operates in you to accomplish something that is not conceivable or possible to man. I'm going to give you a couple quick examples. There is lots of examples on the Word I can give you. There is lots of scripture I can give you. But to condense it and just simplify it, I'm going to give you some examples out of the Bible, and then I'm going to share one out of my own life that happened a while back. Now, the gift of faith. One of the gifts of faith that I would talk about are operations of the gift of faith. If we go back to Jesus, is when he turned the water into wine. You know, he's at a feast, he's at a wedding feast, and they end up running out of wine. And so his mother ends up telling him, go to ask Jesus and do whatever he tells you. She gave him a simple instruction, do whatever he tells you. So Jesus told him what to do, and by his faith, he was able to turn the water into wine. Another example would be when they were out ministering to the crowd of 5,000. In fact, it was estimated to be over 5,000. And they turn around, and they don't have any food for them. And the apostles asked, should we run into town and go buy some food and come back for them? You know, and he said no. And he turned around, and he prayed over the fish and the loaves of bread, and all those people ate. Okay. Another example will be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they're in the fiery furnace. When Nebuchadnezzar tells them that they have to bow down and worship his image, they refuse to do so. And they turn around and by faith know that God would rescue them from any punishment that would be there. They even tell the king more or less, hey, if you want to throw us in your fire furnace, go ahead, but it's going to embarrass you. Don't do that. The Nebuchadnezzar throws them in anyways. It says that this fire was so hot that the people who threw them in actually turned around and caught on fire because the heat was so intense. And as he was watching them, he asked, did we not throw three in there because there was a fourth one in there and they were dancing with them? When they came out, they were not burned. They didn't even smell smoky because it was a supernatural gift of faith that was operating. We could go on and on and on and share about this gift and about the miraculous works that God worked through the gift of faith. I want to share with you about how this operated in my life at one time that I want to share with you. And I want to share this particular story with you because as I was prepping for this study, it was something God showed me. Now, what I'm about to share with you, you may not believe, and that's okay, okay? I mean, whether you believe it or not doesn't make it any less true. The fact is your unbelief in it doesn't turn around and take us back to the past and erase what happened. The fact is this happened, and I'm going to share it with you. And the people that I've shared it with in the past, especially in teachings, has really ministered to them. In fact, there's a youth pastor I can think of right now that was in a class I was teaching one time. And yes, I didn't realize he was in there, but later on he came up to me and told me, he's like, man, this is months later. He said, that teaching you taught, man, it impacted me so much. And I said, what teaching are you talking about? And he was talking about the story I'm getting ready to tell you. And he said, I always think about that. So I want to share the story with you. Years and years ago, when I was part of a church back when we lived in Albuquerque, I used to be part of the sports ministry. And one of the things that I did is I ran a co-ed soccer team. And the co-ed soccer team that we had was filled with men and women, but we weren't part of a church league. We were part of the city leagues. And what we would do is we use this as an outreach. First of all, we outreach to the people who would join from the church. You had to be a member of our church in order to play. And in addition to that, we'd have Bible studies and we'd build up fellowships and things of that nature, and it really helped those people come together. Any type of a life group or cell group you can get part of will build you up in friendship and build you up in your church where you're at. We started producing people who were serving left and right. So if you're a pastor and you're listening to this and you're trying to figure out how to get more people to serve, start developing some of these groups and encourage your leaders to impress upon them, first through example but also through word, to encourage these people to serve. Anyways. As we're doing this, we used to go out to the leagues. And as we'd go out to the leagues, we'd play a game against whoever we were going to play. And at the end of the game, we would turn around and we would send an ambassador from our team to go over to the other team and let them know that we were going to get together in prayer. And if they had any needs that we could lift up for them, we'd be honored to do so. And you'd get some different people come and say, yeah, I really need this or something. And then we'd invite them, if you'd like, you're welcome to come and pray with us. Well, one day during the summer, during what was known as the monsoon season in Albuquerque, it's towards the end of the summer, I'm driving home one day, and I live over on the west side, and where our game was way over on the east side over by the mountains. Well, we had some really bad storms that day, and it wasn't uncommon for games to get canceled in the summer due to bad weather. One, because of the rain, but two, because of the lightning threats and how it could travel. So I'm driving home one day, and as I'm there, the Lord starts ministering to me, and he starts speaking to me heavily. And one of the things is, as I'm driving and I'm at a stoplight, he tells me, look out to the left and look at the weather. So when I looked out to the left towards the weather, I'm looking towards where we're supposed to play field. And it is dark. You can't see the mountains. It is raining bad over there. He said, I want you to speak to the weather. And I said, what? He said, I want you to speak to the weather. You want me to speak to the weather? He goes, yes. I want you to command the weather to move out so that you can have your game. Well, it had already been raining for hours, and so by condition fields or field conditions, they could have canceled the game just by that. It had been raining for a few hours. So he looked at me, and I'm like, well, what do you mean? He goes, son, do what I told you. He said, there is someone who is counting on you who needs to hear from your team today when you go to play. And if you don't command that weather to get out of the way, the game's going to get canceled, and that person's going to miss out on a life-altering word they need to hear. And I said, okay. So I repented, and I turned around, and I mustered up everything I could. And I had never prayed over something of that magnitude before. But I remembered where God commanded the weather or where Jesus commanded the weather in the Bible, and so I knew that same power operated through me. So in Jesus' name, I started speaking against that weather, and I took authority over it, and I commanded it to move out in Jesus' name, and I rebuked any interference from our game being canceled that day. I'm not going to go through everything I prayed, but basically I exercised my faith and exercised it to get this thing out of the way. When I did that, what I didn't realize what was happening at the time is that the gift of faith was operating through me. I had a supernatural, unlimited faith. It was God doing the work. It wasn't me, but he did have to flow it through me. And he did it through my words. Faith without works is dead. And I allowed that faith to operate through me. And when that faith came out, it did something that man cannot explain, and it did something that's considered impossible to humanity. It turned around and moved the weather out. Well, fast forward in the story, I want to let you know that when I showed up, it was raining all over that part of town. However, there was a pocket, almost like a donut, that was circled around that field. And that pocket had no rain. It was maybe lightly drizzling, but it wasn't raining there. It was maybe just from the wind blowing around from the other spots around it. but it was dry. There was no rain there. And as there was no rain, the refs were shocked. The players for both teams were shocked. And we played a game and had fun. And at the very end, we invited the other team to pray with us. And their whole team came over, which wasn't common for that to happen. And we got a big circle at the middle of the field. And before I started, I said, I want to share something with you that the Lord had for me to share. And the Lord protruded to give me a word of knowledge. Remember, I told you the gifts often operate in tandem with each other. And I gave a word of knowledge. And I didn't know he was going to share all of this. But I did tell them what happened earlier in the day. I said, you guys look at the weather around us. God commanded me earlier today to command the weather to clear out. Now, whether you believe that or not, that's up to you. That's what I told the team. I said, but if you look around you, you know the weather in Albuquerque, and you know it's impossible for this weather to have cleared out without there being some type of divine intervention. That being said, God has a spoken word for someone here. There is someone here who is struggling deeply within their marriage today. In fact, you're so lost that you don't know how to make it work, and you're on the brink of divorce. But you know this is going to alter and change the course of you and your family forever. You want to make it work, but you have no idea how to do so. You've been seeking some type of help, and you've been even asking whether or not if God is real, and if he is, to please show up. He wants you to know he loves you, and he is real. And if you will let him take the wheel, he'll take control of the situation and guide you through it so that you can have a better outcome. He will erase the situation. He will unscramble the eggs of the situation. Now, that being said, if that speaks to you, then in private, when we're done praying, I want you to come to me, and I want to continue to speak with you. And that was it. But I will tell you that that has such witnessing power, and the people, as they're looking around at the weather, they knew there was no way of denying what God had done and the words that I had said, believer and non-believer, okay? I mean, there were a lot of unbelievers there. And as they did that, we started having healings within that prayer circle left and right. They started saying, I need prayer for this. I need prayer for this. I'm sick over this. Can you pray over my mom for this? Can you pray over this? And our team as a whole started praying over them, and we saw God's mighty hand move that day, but it operated through an act of obedience. You know, it tells us that if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So we turned around and we did that. Well, we finished and concluded that prayer circle. I went over back to the street to my truck, and as I'm getting in my truck, getting ready to change my shoes, I feel someone tap on my shoulder, and I turn around, and it was a brother there, and the moment he looked at me, he broke down in tears. And he said, brother, I know without a shadow of a doubt I'm that guy who you were talking about, because the words you said were spoken came exactly out of my mouth earlier today, and I really need some help. I didn't even think this game was going to happen. He knew there was no way for God to deny God in this situation, from the weather, the way it had moved out, everything. And so he turned around, and he said, and it's not like the weather cleared out all around that whole part of town. Someone could say it just cleared up. It was just a pocket within the middle. That was it. It was just a pocket. It was raining hard, hard all around us. It was almost like it was just around that field, to be honest with you. So we turned around, and I prayed with him. And he turned around and told me that him and his wife were on the brink of divorce, that they had lost trust within the relationship. Something had gone wrong. He didn't know where. He had even said that she was parked at the very end of the street watching them because she had no trust in him, that she was even following him to everywhere he went, work, games, whatever, because she thought he was cheating on her, and it was just getting worse and worse, and this brother was lost. So I prayed with him. The first thing we did is I helped him get his life right with the Lord. He dedicated his life to the Lord. He got saved that day, and then we prayed over him that God would turn that situation around, and I gave him some advice and some instruction that the Lord gave me. I want to let you know that I didn't see that gentleman for quite some time, but 1 year later, the gentleman walked up to me. He came up and looked completely different. His eyes were filled with love. You could tell that there was peace there. His whole countenance had changed. And he said, Brother Neil, he goes, do you remember me? And I said, yes, I do. How is it going? I go, I thought of you. How are you doing? He said, I want you to know my marriage turned completely around. In fact, not only did it turn completely around, my marriage is so good, I never realized marriage could be this good. He goes, I want to let you know that immediately when I got home that day, God went to work in my family. Things changed. My wife and I started working on stuff. And as we did, we even started going to church regularly. He told me they got plugged into a great church, a great local church, and they had changed their lives. And they were now, they went from destruction and devastation and death. They went to marriage prosperity. Guys, I'm going to tell you that this is how the gift of faith operates. When God prompts you to operate in it, it starts with obedience. But when you're obedient with it, a supernatural flood or unlimited power can operate through you. It's God operating through you. So if God impresses something on you, don't let your mind stand in the way as a limitation of whether or not it can happen. Don't reason whether or not it can happen or why it should happen. Just simply trust in God. Had I ignored that call that day, there's no telling where that family would have been now, but I can say with certainty they would have been divorced and they would have been broken. But instead, they're operating. This is a man. There's a salvation that came out of this. There were many salvations that day that happened. There were many healings that day that happened, all because of the obedience for one person through one person. And the results are echoing into the future. You've heard me say this before. God knows, or let me rephrase this. Man knows how many seeds may come out of one apple, but only God knows how many apples can come from one seed. Guys, I hope you found this teaching encouraging. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com. Also, follow us on our social media. We ask that you subscribe to our YouTube channel so you can share it on your social media. You can find us on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. In addition, if there's areas that you're hoping to hear about or subjects you'd like to hear about, feel free to swing by our website and on our Contact Us page. Shoot us a quick form. Those will come to me. I'll go before the Lord and pray about them, and we'll be led to teach on them as he leads us to. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Power off.
Pastor Peaches?
Yes. I'm sorry, Pastor. Yes, Pastor. And so, 5 minutes?
Yes.
Questions, comments? Anybody? Everybody seeing what faith is and what it's not?
So, a gift of faith is a supernatural act of obedience. Basically, trusting God to do something miraculous.
Yes.
That man could not do.
Right. Supernatural. An example he gave for that was when Jesus turned the water into wine, and we know that that's impossible, but that's why it was supernatural. And then when and feeding the 5,000 with the 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Supernatural.
Right. And the three Hebrew boys.
Bluetooth.
Yes. May I interject?
Connected.
There were things above nature. Yes.
Yes.
Come on in, Pastor.
Yes. A good example of faith in action. First of all, before I say that, you remember what Neil said about usually the two or more gifts working at the same time.
Yes.
When Moses was standing at the Red Sea and God told him to raise his staff, now he could have said, what's that going to do, you know? But faith allowed him to raise his staff. And a miracle came. The sea opened. The supernatural faith usually precedes a miracle of some kind. Elijah took off his cloak. And by faith, he hit the water. And the water proceeded to open up. And he walked across on dry land. It took a while because the wind had to blow to dry the land. And then he walked across. Usually supernatural faith precedes a miracle. All of them, supernatural faith, the gift of faith and the gift of miracles operated by the Holy Spirit. You, in your walk, ordinary faith is that when you get out, get into your car, you put the key in, You have faith that when you turn the key or whatever, press the button, because I know cars are different today than it was when I was driving. You said you drove cars? Oh, I thought you rode horse and buggy. Anyway, the bottom line, you have faith that the car would start. Or if you got on a horse, you had faith that the horse would move once you got on the horse. Okay. So there's two gifts working in tandem with one another. Okay. Thank you, Pastor Peter.
And Sharon, I believe obedience had to be in this. When you said that, I was going to say it was act of obedience, preceded the act of obedience.
That was spot on, Elder QB. Obedience is necessary if you're going to yield to deal with supernatural faith, because it's the unction of the Holy Spirit. And you can either obey the Holy Spirit and be moved by the unction of the Holy Spirit, or you're going to be disobedient. You're going to grieve the Holy Spirit. You're going to sit down on the Holy Spirit. So that's right.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when he sees your faith, that prompts him to move.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, you must understand the difference between the level of faith. This is the gift of faith, which is different from, let's say, ordinary faith.
Right.
Just like... the gift of prophecy is different from standing in the role of a prophet. Two different things. So, like he said, we have faith that the sun's going to rise tomorrow. We don't even think about it. We just have faith and believe in that. But it takes supernatural faith. If the Holy Spirit gave you unction to walk on top of the water, to get somewhere or to help, or whatever, that takes supernatural faith. And again, clue is that supernatural faith usually precedes a miracle, the gift of miracles. All right.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. Time for the second time of passage.
Oh, okay.
Women, let me all minds and hearts, all minds clear. Okay, you can go on, Pastor.
Today's topic that we're going to be discussing is called the working of miracles. Again, today's topic that we're discussing is called the working of miracles. Last week, we began a new series on the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things we talked about is that the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, sometimes referred to as the nine manifestation gifts, are actually broken down into three categories of three. You have your revelation gifts, you have your power gifts, and your inspiration gifts. Last week, we covered the revelation gifts, which consisted of a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Today, we're continuing our study on the power gifts. Last week on Friday, we covered the gift of faith. Today we're covering the working of miracles, and tomorrow we'll be discussing gifts of healing. As we discuss these gifts, sometimes people wonder why these gifts are relevant in today's society or why they're relevant today. What I will tell you is that the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are something that are meant for the building up of the body of Christ. They're meant for the equipping of the body of Christ. Now, some of these gifts, not all of them, are also meant for external witnessing power to the unsaved. We've already covered a few of those, and we have some more coming up. But as we grow in these gifts, the reason why it's so important for us to understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit is because this is the operation and ministry of the Holy Spirit through these gifts. Now, as we talk about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, one of the things that we've talked about is that this is meant for the direct edification of the church. Edification simply means the building up of the church. One of the things I want to go into is our foundational scripture that we've used on this, and I'm going to put it on the screen so you can read along with us. This can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to cover the full verse so that way you understand exactly what we're covering. So if you want to follow us, we're going to be going to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start at verse 1, and then we're skipping down through verses 4 through 11. Remember, this is the Apostle Paul teaching. The reason why I think that's so important is the original 12 apostles learned directly from Jesus because they walked around with him and learned directly from him. The Apostle Paul came after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which means that everything he learned, he had to learn directly through the Holy Spirit. I always think that's an important thing to state because the same Holy Spirit that led and guided him is the same Holy Spirit that's leading and guiding us today. Let's go ahead and read. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now if we were to study what the word ignorant means, sometimes that's meant as an insult within our society today. But the word ignorant simply means not knowing or not understanding. You know, it tells us in God's word that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. In other words, for a lack of knowing, for a lack of understanding. We don't want the body of Christ perishing because of a lack of understanding regarding the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Remember, this is the ministry and operation of the Holy Spirit meant to operate through man. Now, he gives it to who he wills, but we're going to talk about that a little more. Let's go ahead and continue reading. We're going to go 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to skip down to verse 4. Let's read. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So as we talk about what the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are, that is the list of what all the nine manifestation gifts are. As we break each one down, which we started last week and will continue through the end of this week, we're breaking down how each gift operates. One of the things I want to point out in remembrance, though, if you haven't been with us, is that many times man likes to label or humanity likes to label things. And oftentimes within the church, people get caught up with trying to label a specific gift that was operating at any given time. In other words, we treat things like they're in boxes. And so if someone's operating within the church in a gift, they want to pull out that box and say, this is the gift they were operating. But they treat it as though it was only that gift that was operating. One of the things that's important to know is that when a gift is operating, a gift of the Holy Spirit is operating, usually it's several gifts working in tandem with each other, complementing each other, supporting each other. So when we listen and we hear, yes, there may be one gift that really comes up to the scene as a primary gift operating at that point, but it doesn't mean it was operating alone. Usually these gifts operate in tandem. I think that's so important to say because one of the things the Word tells us is that no one can do anything to earn these gifts. It says the Holy Spirit gives them to who he wills. But there are things we can do to grow, to position ourselves to be available to receive them. And as you receive these gifts, one of the things you need to know is that it's not a use it or lose it kind of deal, but the more you operate, the more you're willing and obedient to operate in these gifts as the Holy Spirit prompts you, the more you're found faithful with that, the more that gift will grow in you. And the more that gift grows in you, other gifts will grow around it as well. To break down for you what the gift of miracles is, just so you understand, a gift of miracles are what we consider a miracle in God's society, or for God, I should say, in heaven, is just a normal everyday occurrence. Okay? So what we consider a miracle for God is a normal everyday occurrence. Basically, a miracle is a supernatural occurrence beyond our natural understanding or ability. In other words, a supernatural occurrence beyond our natural comprehension. That is what a basic miracle is, okay? Or that's the basic foundation of what a miracle is. A miracle is also something that oftentimes bends or completely operates past the natural laws of this world. So in other words, if I were holding, let's say, a book in my hand right now, and I were to let it go, what would happen to that book? It would drop. Why? Oh. Because there's a natural law of gravity that says that that book is going to be pulled down to the surface of the earth. It doesn't matter what it is, whether I'm holding a book or whether I'm holding a feather. The weight does not matter. The law of gravity, it's a natural law, says that has to happen. However, if someone were praying, if they were led by God, and if they were led to tell that book to suspend in air, then that book suspending in air would bend or surpass our natural laws within this world. That being said, that is something we would consider a miracle. Now, someone might say, well, why would God want you to suspend the book in the air? I'm just giving you an example. I'm giving you an example of what it means to bend our natural laws within this world. Now, that being said, there are many, many, many miracles described in the Bible. Many miracles. We've already talked about several of them within our other teachings. And one of the things we said is that most of the gifts operate in tandem with each other. One of the examples I like best, or two of the examples I like best out of the Bible, the first one is the story of Moses. If you know the story of Moses, when God turned around and led him to go back and speak to Pharaoh so that he would release the Hebrews, you know, the Israelites, so that they could get out of Egypt. They had been in bondage for quite a while. As they were, Pharaoh turned around and was hardened his heart and said, no, 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 and plague after plague came on him. Finally, he acquiesced and said, yes, fine, take them. And Moses turned around and led the people out of Egypt. But as they were led them out of Egypt, eventually Pharaoh changed his mind and pursued and chased them. And as he did, they came to a point where they reached the Red Sea and they had no way of getting out of there because the army was at their back. So God turned around and led Moses to turn around and pray, and he turned around and they parted the Red Sea. In other words, the Red Sea split in half. There is no way to describe that as anything other than a miracle. Yes, there was a gift of faith that was operating as well with that, which was unlimited faith that allowed that to operate. That was a supporting gift, but it was the gift or working of miracles that split that sea open. Another time, you know, oftentimes people think that the water only split one time within the Word. Another time that that's talked about is when the prophet Elijah was walking with Elisha. Elijah with the J was the prophet, and the other prophet, Elisha, that was the Elijah was Elisha's mentor, okay? And so they're walking along, and they approach the Jordan River, and one of the things is they needed to cross the other side. So Elijah, the prophet, takes off his coat, he rolls it up, and he slaps the water with it. And when he slaps the water split in half, and the Bible tells us they walked across on dry land. What was that? That was a working of miracles. Now, anyone can take off their coat. It doesn't matter what kind of coat it is, whether if it's nylon or whether if it's leather, it doesn't matter. And you can roll that thing and smack the water as hard as you can. And you may create a good splash, but you're not going to create the water to split unless it's a working of miracles at the divine instruction of God led by the Holy Spirit. Guys, when we're talking about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's so important to understand how those gifts operate. And when miracles operate in general, sometimes people think it just happened, don't be surprised if God had someone praying for you that you didn't know about. You know, there are many times that as believers, we will pray for people that we will never meet this side of heaven because God wakes us up in the middle of the night or he prompts us during the middle of the day to pray for someone or a specific situation, and maybe we don't even know or understand who that person is. But when we're obedient, you know, one of the things you've heard me say, and I heard this from Terry Savelle Foy, is that someone's always waiting on the other side of your obedience. When we're obedient with the things God has entrusted to us, when we're obedient with the gifts he's given us, great things can happen for the body of Christ. Guys, I want to thank you for taking the time to stop by and grow with us today. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com. In addition, follow us on our social media and check in with us. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, which makes it easy for you to share this feed with other friends of yours. In addition to that, you can find us on Facebook or on Twitter. Guys, if these teachings are meaning something to you, we ask that you share them with the people around you. That way you can help them get fed, and it opens up common talking points for you to be able to minister and to witness to them. In other words, with these teachings, we're running a race. And when you watch this teaching, we're handing the baton off to you. So we're handing it off to you. That way you can turn around and post it on your social media and carry the next leg of that race and start ministering to those around you. Guys, if you have things that you would like to be taught on or subjects that you're interested in, we invite you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com and go ahead and go to our contact page and submit those to us. Those are things that I'll turn around and be in prayer about before the Lord and teach as I'm led. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and He loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Power off.
Any questions? Comments? You got the scriptures? That was 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Comments?
You know, this is the first time I heard about Elijah taking his coat off, slapping the water, parting the sea. That is the first time I heard this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed. I knew about him parting at other places, Jordan and the Red Sea, but I didn't know that he had parted with, you know, Elijah being obedient and hitting the water with his jacket. That's amazing. I'd never heard it all these years. That was new for me.
Guess what? Oh, may I interject?
Go ahead, Pat.
When Elijah and Elisha walked across on dry land and the chariot came and got Elijah's cloak fell and Elisha picked it up. And see, the water had come back together, but Elisha had to get on the other side. So guess what Elisha did? Took the cloak, hit the water, and then he walked back on dry land.
Oh.
That's awesome. So those two right there, the water splitting. God. Of course, Moses, there's actually another one where Joshua opened up the Jordan and walked across. But the bottom line is that you're willing and obedient, miracles going to happen, y'all. Step out in faith.
Amen.
That is what God is calling for, someone to step out in supernatural faith.
Well, Pastor, I think you had given us an example a few times about someone who was afraid to drive in the bad weather, and they closed their eyes.
Yeah. Glory to God. Her sister didn't know why she kept getting being awakened, and she just started praying tongues because she didn't know why. And that's what I share with anybody. You don't know why you wake up and say, I just can't get no sleep. Well, maybe God is trying to tell you something. Start praying in your tongue. Come on now. Because somebody needs intervention.
Amen.
Be faithful, obedient, and miracles gonna happen. And this is the first time I've seen this in myself. I just mentioned it today. Is that supernatural faith precedes a miracle? Supernatural faith precedes a miracle. Lord have mercy. God just revealing so much in this teaching to us. It is just amazing. One of the things, the gifts of the Spirit, they're also called the manifestation gifts. God manifests His presence through His Holy Spirit and the gift that the Holy Spirit ministers to through us and to us. And a church is really not established the way God would love for the local congregation to be established if the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not active, fully active in the congregation. How many minutes we have? I'm sorry.
45, 56, 59. One more.
Any questions? Anybody? I just hear Elder QB. Is just three of us on the call today?
I didn't get the scriptures.
All right. Pastor Peter, give me the scriptures, please.
There's only one, Andy. 1 Corinthians 12,
1:4-11.
1 Corinthians 12:1-11.
1:4-11.
Okay, in other words, verse 1. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pastor Peter.
Pastor, just go ahead.
Okay. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. And then he says, skip down to verse 4-11.
Okay. Got it.
All right. Hallelujah. Any more questions? Oh, excuse me. Let's go ahead, Pastor.
Would you say obedience precedes all of it, Pastor?
I think obedience is kind of like the framework for supernatural faith to take a hold. You got to be obedient to the unction of the Spirit to deal with supernatural faith. And then supernatural faith precedes a miracle. Mm.
I also think when you are obedient to God, you're defying flesh, because flesh want to tell you something that's comfortable. But you have to step out of that and trust God that he's going to do something miraculous by your obedience. He honors that.
Amen. That is so true. And I looked at the scripture, Ephesians 4:29. But see, 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So we got to be obedient to what the word of the Lord says in 29. Because if we don't be obedient to the unction of the Spirit, because that's what the word of God is, the unction of the Holy Spirit, we grieve the Holy Spirit. So God wants you to use the gift. That, if he didn't want you to use the gift of the Holy Spirit, he wouldn't give it to you. He wouldn't prompt you. He wouldn't put it in your spirit. He wouldn't give you, something just prompted me to do this. It's like a push. It's like it's a shove. It's like, boy, I can't sit still. I can't keep quiet. That's how he unctions you to move in the area of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many minutes we have?
We ain't gone over.
Oh. Pardon me. It's all Elder Kubi's fault. Elder Kubi, I'm
on. I did have something else to say, but I ain't going to mess with it. We're already over.
You're on. Pairing over. Bluetooth connected.
The things we've been doing is we started covering a new series last week on the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And each day we've been dedicating to each of the specific gifts. Now, as we've been doing that, one of the things that we've been teaching is that the purpose of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit is for the edification or building up of the body of Christ. Now, some of these gifts also have external witness to the unsaved as well, but for the most part, their main purpose is for the building up of the body of Christ. In fact, one of the things we've been doing as we've been teaching is we've been discussing that the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit are actually the ministry and operation of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
Now, as we teach on these 9 gifts, one of the things we've discussed is that the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, sometimes referred to as the 9 manifestation gifts, are actually broken up into 3 categories of 3. We have the revelation gifts, we have the power gifts, and we have the inspiration gifts. Last week, we covered the revelation gifts, which constituted of the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And on Friday, we finished with the power gift of faith. Yesterday, we covered the power gift of working of miracles, and today we're covering the power gift of gifts of healings. Now, when we talk about these gifts, the reason why we break them down like this is so that you can understand each of their function and operation. One of the things you with that as you grow and learn about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, one of the things I've seen over my years in ministry is that whenever someone begins to learn a deep dive study like we're doing about each of the gifts, they eventually realize that some of these gifts have already been operating within their life. They just didn't know how to label them, or they didn't know what it was. They may have known that God was doing something, but they didn't know what it was called. And as people turn around and get educated around these gifts, With education comes confidence, and with confidence comes boldness to step out further in these gifts and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to be used by these gifts. Now, if you don't feel you've received any of these gifts, that's okay. The reason why we're teaching about them is so that you can make yourself available to receive them. Now, it tells us in the Word that the Holy Spirit gives them to each as He wills. In other words, there's nothing you can do to earn them. However, there are things you can do to position yourself through right character within Christ to where you can be made available to be used by them. One of the things that you can do with that is by studying the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit as found in Galatians. As you grow in those characteristics, it will position you to be used greater by God. I will also tell you, it tells us in Isaiah 1:19 that if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. You can't just be willing to want to receive these gifts. You also have to be obedient so that when Christ calls upon you or when He prompts you to operate in these gifts, that you'll be willing and obedient to operate in them. As we talk about this gift today, we want to get right into it because we got a lot of material to cover and a lot of good material to cover. But the one thing I want to point out that's probably the most significant about this gift is that out of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, out of all the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit that we're getting ready to cover with you, this is the only gift that is pluralized. In other words, it's gifts with an S at the end of it. That's plural. Gifts, plural, of healings, plural. And there's much significance in that. It's actually believed that within this one gift that there are multiple independent gifts that operate underneath the umbrella of the gift of healing. Let's go ahead and go right into the Word. I want to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is actually where it gives us the full list of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I want to take you to where it actually talks about the gift of healing. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're actually going to go down to verse 9. Let's read. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. It says, to another, gifts, plural, of healings, plural, by the same Spirit. So to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now, when we talk about this, sometimes people say, well, Brother Neil, what do you mean by that there's individual gifts in the gifts of healing? Well, what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about, first of all, what this gift is, and then we're going to discuss its operation. The first thing I want to tell you is that when Jesus died on the cross, it tells us in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah prophesied about the death of Jesus, okay? And when he did, one of the things he said is that by my stripes you are healed. So when people say by his stripes, or the stripes what he took on the cross, is that the nails he took on the cross? No, that's not the nails he took on his cross. What the stripes are is when they turn around and beat and whipped him, when they flogged him before he turned around and went on the cross. So if we back up to the story of Jesus, one of the things we know is that the Jews were so mad and so angry at Jesus. They thought he was blaspheming and stuff, and they were so angry, and they had such a hard time accepting the truth because they had hardened their hearts towards it. So as they did that, one of the things was is they wanted Jesus to die. So at the time, the Romans gave him what they felt were their highest form of punishment they could give a person without them dying. We know this through history recordings. That this punishment was the highest form of punishment they would assign someone without dying. What it was called was the 40-1 lashings. You may have heard this in different church circles. Sometimes there's a little controversy over it. But it's called the 40-1. And basically what it means is that they whipped them 40 times minus 1. In other words, they whipped them 39 times. And the reason why they did that is because for the average person, and we know Jesus was not average, praise God, but for the average person, if they gave them the 40th lash, their body would sustain such shock from it that they would go into shock and die off it. And so instead of giving it as a death sentence, they'd give the 40-1, which is 39 lashes. Now some people say, well, how do you know that? Because it never says in the Bible what Jesus had. Well, it never talks about specifically Jesus getting 39 lashes, but we know from history recordings that that was their highest form of punishment. In fact, if you want to go with me real quick, if we go to 2 Corinthians 11:24, Paul later had these same lashings, and he talked about it. Let's read it real quick. 2 Corinthians 11:24. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. So even he refers to them as stripes, 40 lashes minus 1. 39 lashes. Now, in medical science, long time ago, okay, in medical science, They were considered to be. They don't acknowledge it anymore because the world hates when they turn around and teach on something and find out that it's in the Bible. They just hate it because it proves that the Bible's true. Long time ago, there was what was known as 39 supercategories of the medical field. And these 39 supercategories basically stated that every sickness, disease, illness, mental disorder, whatever, could be found underneath one of these main 39 categories. So when we talk about that by his stripes we're healed, it's no coincidence that the same number of stripes Jesus took is the same number of stripes for every one of those major medical categories that describes every sickness, illness, disease, mental disorder, whatever. Mm-hmm. By his stripes, we've been healed. We've been made whole. Praise God. So that's what it means by the stripes. Now that you know what it means by the stripes, and now that you understand that, let's go into the operation of how this gift operates. So when we talk about gifts of healings, now you know why. It's believed that there's up to 39 individual gifts that operate underneath this umbrella, and that when someone's prompted to operate in this gift, that they turn around and there's 39 major categories that they have the ability to operate in. Okay? Now, as you grow and are sensitive to this gift and you allow the Lord to move you, you'll grow in greater ways and be used in greater ways, and it's a powerful thing. Before I go forward, though, I want to talk about real quick. In the Bible, it lists to us that there are four primary ways to receive a healing. The first one is by finding a promise in God's word and standing upon it, praying it and confessing it in your life and speaking it into your life over and over, believing you've received that promise of healing within your life. That's the first. The second way is when you go to a friend or a family member and you give them legal access, so to speak, to pray within your life. In other words, you go to them and you have them help you stand in the faith gap to bridge the faith gap for you, or you have them stand in agreement with prayer with you, standing on the scripture of the desired outcome. It's a prayer of agreement. They're standing in agreement with each other on that prayer and the outcome on that promise that you've been made healed. Not, or made whole, that you've been healed. That being said, don't go pick someone that doesn't have any faith in healings. They might be great in finances, but when it comes to healings, well, I just don't know, brother. Don't pick that person. Pick someone who you know and pray that God leads you to that person. The third way is when people go to the elders or pastor of their church and they have them lay hands on them. That's why a lot of people think the only way to receive a healing is to have hands laid on them, and that's not necessarily the only way. That's actually the third way, okay, in the order here. And then your fourth way is by having someone who operates in the gifts of healings release a healing into you. Now, when I say release a healing into you, what do I mean by that? I'm so glad you asked. Let's go to our next scripture, and I'll talk to you about it. Now, just real quick for some preface, this is a story of Jesus, and when he's walking, Jairus had just come to him because he had a daughter that was around 12 years old, and she was sick and she was dying, and so he asked Jesus if he would come and pray over her. And as he's going through a mighty crowd. And it's a picture of the front stage of a major concert where everybody's just pressed on each other. And as he's making it through the crowd, everyone's pressed in around him all around. And as he's on the way to Jairus' house, a woman with an issue of blood who had been sick for about 12 years herself comes up to him and receives a healing. Let's study it. It's out of Luke chapter 8, and we're going to go 42 through 48. Let's read. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any came behind and touched the border of his garment. In other words, the edge of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you. And you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, verse 46, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." It is so significant. There are so many significant things when we study healing within this verse. First of all, I've highlighted in white two different special parts. Jesus is pressed by all sides. Someone touches the edge of his garment. Who would normally feel that in a case like that? And yet he stopped. Because he didn't feel her touch the edge of his garment, what he felt was someone placed a demand for the healing anointing that was on his life, and he felt that release out of him. It says he said that. He perceived power going out from him. And when he did that, he knew someone had placed a demand on that healing. That is so significant and so important. Now, later it tells us that he told her, daughter, be of good cheer, for your faith has made you well. In other words, when someone's operating in the gifts of healing, it's not like they got some superpower to just reach out and turn around and make someone whole. Yes, they have the ability to allow God when God prompts them in this. Okay, this doesn't always operate. But when God prompts them in this, yes, he can turn around and funnel his healing through that person, but that person has to be willing to place demand on that anointing through their faith. Sometimes you have people say, well, if this gift operates all the time, then how come you just don't go to hospitals and just pray over everybody? Because that's not how the gift operates. I broke down to you the four ways to receive a healing from top to bottom, so to speak, or I should say most significant down to the gifts of healing. In other words, it's not that it's least significant, but that it's the order, okay? It's the order. God's a God of order, okay? And with that, this gift at times operates and other times it doesn't. Sometimes people say, well, why wouldn't God just want that to always operate? Why wouldn't he just send someone into the hospital and just make them heal everybody? Because not everybody wants to be healed. Now, some people don't like when I say that potentially, maybe, I don't know, but I'm going to say not everybody wants to be healed, or maybe people want to be healed, but there's laws, there's spiritual laws of faith around healing. You have to have faith for salvation. You also have to have faith for healing, and that's what we're studying. Now, we'll go into this in other teachings later on, okay, but this is a study where we're teaching you what the gift is, why it's important, and how to operate in it, or how it operates is what I should say. Now, as we also talk about this, one of the things this woman significantly did is after she received her healing, she declared it. She didn't turn around and say, well, I'm healed for now. We'll see if it comes back. No, she didn't go hide from it. She declared it. This is how the gifts of healing operates when it's operating as one of the power gifts of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and it flows from you. Guys, I sure hope you enjoyed our study today. I just absolutely love this subject. And I love God's word in general, but I love this subject. It's such a powerful instruction and display of God's love and his building up of the body of Christ. Guys, as always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com and connect with us. In addition, you can find us on our social media at YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. We invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and share that. Help us share this word with others. If these teachings are meaning something to you and they're ministering to you, then share them with those around you. Share them on your social media feeds. Share them with your coworkers. Share them with your family members. You'll be surprised how easy it is to minister to your friends and how easy this opens up avenues of discussion for you to talk about the word. And if your friends are already saved, then praise God, this will help you to sharpen iron because iron sharpens iron. Guys, in addition to that, if you have topics you'd like to learn about, we invite you to swing by our website and on our contact page. Shoot us a quick note. Tell us what you need help with. We'll go before the Lord and pray about it, and as we're led, we'll teach on the subjects. Guys, thank you so much. As always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Is that the last one, Pastor?
Yes, that's the last one.
Comment, question, clarity.
The four ways to receive healing. I missed the first one.
First one, may I share? Is to find a scripture, and you by yourself in your secret closet or whatever, stand on that scripture. Keep quoting that scripture. I know Joel Osteen's mother over, I guess, 40 years ago was diagnosed with cancer. They said she only had a few days. She found scripture, and she quoted that scripture every morning, every night. She quoted the scripture. She stayed on the word of God. That's the first. Find the scripture and stand on it. Number two was the prayer of agreement, which you find somebody else using the same scripture, but you find somebody else to stand in agreement with you, that prayer of agreement. That's two. Number three is the elders of the church. Hallelujah. They lay hands on you. And number four, if you run across somebody who has the gifts of healing, and I don't know, this is just, you know, something that that I'm sharing, there may be somebody who has the gift of healing in the area of cancer. You know, they may not be, have the gifts of healing. Holy Spirit may not work through them for any other conditions, but they have this gift of healing concerning cancer. That's a specialty. That's like you have doctors. You have doctors who are general practitioners. Then you have doctors who are specialists. I am not going to say that in the gifts of healing that there aren't people like that. But again, you must understand all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are not operated by the individual. You just can't turn it on and off. They're operated an unction of the Holy Spirit, the prompting of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Back to you, Pastor Peter.
Did you statement him? You said find somebody that has a specialty in that. And said,
what I was saying is that I perceive that there may be somebody. I haven't seen that in Scripture, but there may be somebody who has the gift of healings in a particular area. And we don't go looking for them, but God will bring them by our door if we need healing in that area. But bottom line, that's the fourth way of healing is you run into somebody who has the gifts of healing.
Yeah, I guess I was waiting for you to say and have them to release healing into you.
Oh, yeah.
Because he said the fourth one was say to find someone else to release the healing into you. Yeah, I was waiting for you to say that. That's why I was asking.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish.
No, I was asking had you finished the statement. That's what I was waiting for you to say. As you said, find somebody. And he said to have someone, I guess, to have that gift to release it into you, the healing. That was number four.
Is that what the lady did when she touched his hem of the garment?
I beg your pardon?
When the lady touched the hem of his garment, would that fit number four?
Yes, but that's why I was getting you kind of preempted what I was getting ready to share.
That
person that has the gift of healing may not know.
Oh, okay.
Is in need of their touch. They may bump into them. They may shake a hand, and you shaking the hand of this person that has the gift of healing. What's released in you is via the Holy Spirit. Now, they can say, I release healing to you. They can do that, but they don't have to say a word. Jesus didn't say a word before healing took place.
That's right. So it was almost like he was crying,
I beg your pardon, sorry.
Was it like he was sort of surprised until his virtue left his body?
I don't know. I would imagine yes, you know, because no doubt others were touching him too, but they didn't need him. No doubt.
Right. He felt the virtue move out of him. He felt the virtue leave out of him. That's how come he knew somebody had touched him.
Right.
Right.
He felt like a relief had went out of him.
But here's something else. No doubt there were others that were, you know, it was a crowd. And they may have been bumping
right.
into them, but they didn't need healing like this lady. Because this lady, she was
right.
out of order as far as the Mosaic law was concerned. She wasn't even supposed to be in public. So she took, and she had a whole lot of faith. Because they could have taken her out of town and stoned her because she was breaking the Mosaic law. They considered her unclean. But she heard that Jesus was coming, and she said, I just got to get, if I could just touch the hem of his garment.
Mm-hmm.
She said, then I'm going to be made whole. And you see, I think it's in Malachi, we talked about healing in the wings. The wings were the bottom portions of God, of people's garments. You know, the robes that people and it just touched the garment. Cause to lead him. And that's interesting too, because I know that there may have been others who needed the healing, but she might have been the one that needed the healing the most. Suffering for 12 years is a long time. Suffering for 12 days is a long time. And for some people, suffering for 12 minutes is a long time. So that was very interesting. But you could decree and declare things, like Job says, but also things will happen just because you're near and have touched a woman or man of God who has the anointing in them via the Holy Spirit.
I believe she threw caution to the wind and was determined.
Her presence had caution. When she went out in public, she was throwing caution to the wind. Mm. Her life was in danger.
That's right.
Being out in public.
But she stuck her faith out there.
Supernatural faith precedes miracles, y'all. I see it. Like an obedience to the unction. Supernatural faith. The supernatural faith leads to miracles.
Didn't God say your faith has made you whole?
That's what he said. He didn't say will make you whole. He said has made you whole. In other words, she was healed because of her faith, and he just underscored what happened.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you.
And that's a whole lot of faith. See, she didn't just hop into her car and drive over there. Wherever she went, that she had to walk.
Okay.
Lord have mercy. Let me stop. Now he used several.
Good evening, everyone.
Everybody get the scriptures. Sister Angie, you get the scriptures.
With Luke 8:42-48.
What was that?
Hello,
hey, TV.
It was Luke.
Hello,
8,
good evening.
42-48.
Can anyone hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Yeah.
You
yes,
said
my
Luke
name
8?
Is Keith Harris. I was invited by Pam Curtis. I was on early, but I obviously was on either it did not connect at 9 minutes after 7, and I was sitting there listening to music the whole time until about maybe 10 minutes ago.
Oh, you
wow.
Decided to hang up and try again. So when I got on at the tail end. So upset that I missed everything from tonight. So when I got on, all I heard was Mosaic Law and Wings. And that's all I've heard.
Yes.
I apologize.
Yes. Well, God bless you. I don't know what happened to me. Because we've been on since 7. And we have audios. You can kind of review. If you access to YouTube, go to Neil Reyes.
Okay.
Put in the search for Neil Reyes. That's N-E-A-L. Reyes.
N-E-A-L.
Okay, that's N as in Nancy, E as in Earl, A as in Apple, L as in Lima. His last name is like Reyes. R-E-Y-E-S. Neil Reyes. And
okay. Thank you so much.
And put gifts of the Holy Spirit. And
gifts of the Holy Spirit?
Gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's
Pastor,
what we're talking about.
Go ahead.
And I think I have liberty to share that there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. verse 1, and then skip down to verse 4 through 11. The nine.
You said
gifts,
chapter 1?
Yeah. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
12.
Verse 1, and then skip down to verse 4 through 11. Now, today we talk about the power gifts. There are three groups of three. You have the revelation gifts. The revelation gifts reveal something. Then you have the power gifts, and that's what we talked about today. There are three of them. And then you have the inspiration gifts. We'll be talking about them next Tuesday. Now, okay, you've gotten in this, I don't know what happened earlier, but at 7 o'clock, we are very scrupulous starting on time. So you can review what we've done. Like I said, we've done power gifts. Last Tuesday, we did the revelation gifts, which reveals something. Power gifts do something. And the inspiration gifts say something. Next week, we'll be dealing with the inspiration gifts. God bless you, sir. Thank you.
What did you say your name was?
My name is Keith Harris.
Okay, we would like to call your name out in prayer in the morning. That's why I'm asking you.
Oh, thank you.
We have morning prayer, and we call different ones' names out in prayer. So we would like to know your name, so we call your name out in prayer in the morning.
And
thank you so much.
Our morning prayer service is at 7 a.m.
On the same line?
Yeah, on the same line.
This,
the same line, the same
okay.
Seven? Well, you got it because you got in.
Okay.
Now, tomorrow.
Yes, I do.
Tomorrow at 7 p.m. is our midweek service. And you'll be able to hear. It won't be interactive. You'll be able to hear the service. But it's a different number when we deal with our regular services. And the regular services are Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. And you just have to call one number. That's 515-602-9787. That's all you dial. And you will be able to hear the service. And tomorrow's service is going to be off the chain. Hallelujah. But anyone else has any questions about the power gifts? Again, the power gifts do something. Supernatural faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healing. Any more comments or questions about the power gifts? Pastor Peaches?
Mercy, all minds heart clear.
Everybody got the scripture? No more questions? Any questions?
Hallelujah. Well, we thank all of you for joining us today. We pray a special blessing upon you in Jesus' name. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Lord, for meeting every man, woman, boy, or girl on this call, meeting him at the point of their need, and then giving him super abundantly above. And Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we call your harvest, your prosperity, from the north, east, south, and west, upon us and our families, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for making every crooked place straight, every rough place plain, and letting your glory be revealed in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to learn more of you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy to the only wise God, our Savior. Be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever, in Jesus' name. So let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. And
everyone said, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. See you next Tuesday for Bible study and see you tomorrow on the Wednesday International Victory Service. Have a blessed day.
See you in the morning.
Love and name, love.
good evening, everyone. Remember that God loves you. We love you, too. And nothing you can do about it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.